Continuing in our series where we're talking about being led by the Spirit, and when you, this message that I'm doing this morning is one that I wasn't going to do. It's one that where God was like going, "Hey Kelly, don't forget, you said that we're supposed to be led by the Spirit. So I want you to take a moment. I want you to pause. I want you to speak on this very specific thing." And I'm like going, "Okay, what do you want me to speak on?" And as I open up the Bible, it was these words: pray in the Spirit. Every time I kept flipping the pages, it's like, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. And I'm like going, "Okay, God, I really need you to help us understand that." Because what I want, and hopefully what you want, is you want more of God. You want more of the understanding of who He is, but you also want to hear from the Spirit of God that has been placed inside of you. And hopefully that's like a craving and a desire. And I know as I was looking at these verses that we're going to look at this morning, I was just kind of struck that how often do we really appreciate prayer? How often do we look at prayer as a gift from God? That God has given us something that we can connect with the Holy Spirit that's inside of us, that connects with our Heavenly Father. And God desires to have communion with us, to have conversation with us on such an intimate level that He would give us this incredible gift of prayer. How often do we look at it like that? But most people that when we talk about prayer, either they check out or they go, "I'm terrified of it, so I don't do it." I just wanted to, just take your guard down just a little bit. Prayer is something that is beautiful, something that God has established for us to talk to Him. What's going on in our lives, He wants to hear that. He knows what's going on, but He wants to hear it from us. And then in prayer, He wants us to hear His voice. And as we hear His voice, that's what brings us peace. That's what brings us hope. So as we talk about praying in the Spirit this morning, I was starting to think, how do we pray? What do we do to get to the point where we're praying in the Spirit? And what does that really mean, God? And a lot of us, like, we'll take prayer and we'll go, "Give me 4 points on how to pray. So that's how I pray." Or we go, "A pastor taught me how to pray it like this." But prayer is not something that necessarily is kind of taught. It's something that is learned by practicing. And it's learned by having a heart that is humble. If I wanted to learn how to play the piano, and I went to Jane and said, "Jane, I want you to teach me how to play the piano, but I know everything. So how do you think Jane would approach me?" She'd be like going, "Right, you know everything. What kind of student would I be for Jane? I'd be difficult, wouldn't I? I would be a student that was like going, "Hey, well, your authority doesn't mean anything to me, and I know you're professional, you're amazingly gifted, and you can teach, and you've done it all before, but I know how to do this." She's not going to be able to instruct me, is she? She's not going to be able to mold me into a person that could learn the disciplines of playing the piano. Because I don't know about you, but when I look at a piano and you got, 88 keys across there, I'm a little bit overwhelmed. I'm kind of like going, "I have no clue." And it's in prayer that God wants us to approach Him and going, humbly, "God, I don't know. I really don't know how to pray." And as we do that, it's something happens. It's that humility inside that all of a sudden God's Spirit that is inside of us can teach us, can instruct us how to pray at a level where we're connecting with the Spirit of God in us, and we're finding hope and we're finding the peace that we're so longing for, and we can actually hear the voice of God that restores us and brings us the inner hope to keep carrying on, to pressing on, and knowing that He's with us. But if we come in prayer going, "I got this, I know how to do it," God can't move in us. God can't instruct us. Just like Jane couldn't instruct me if I came with the attitude, "I know everything." But now if I went, "Jane, I know nothing about that thing," Jane would go, "Let's start here." She would know right where to take me. And then she'd give me things to practice, and I'd have to practice, and I'd have to be obedient. And that was practice and faithful in it. And it's the same with prayer as well. Well, the scriptures that we're going to look at this morning, they're a little bit difficult. They're also very exciting. So before we open up those scriptures, I just want to pray, because I don't want what's coming from these scriptures to come from me. Because when I say spray in the, or spray, how about pray? We could spray our prayers, right? Pray in the Spirit. Something happens inside, right? There's some of us that are a little bit nervous. There's some of us that you're already going to thinking that it's this, and you want no part of it. And then there's another group going, I have no clue. And I want God's Spirit to speak. So I want you to pray with me. And when I say with me, I literally mean with me, okay? In your spirit, just going, okay, I'm affirming, I'm confirming what Pastor Kelly's saying. So join me in prayer. God, we want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. I would ask that your Spirit would just open up the words of the Bible in such a real way that this would make sense, we would understand it, and that we would understand that we have the ability to connect with you as Abba Father, so intimate. And I would ask, Lord, that you just give us a desire and a craving to learn and to know how to pray, Lord, in the Spirit. And help us to understand what praying in the Spirit is, Lord. Spirit of God, we would ask that right now that you would just take over the scriptures and that you would reveal to people what you want them to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, open up to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. And as I was kind of searching, you know, I was actually going to go into the gifts of the Spirit, but it's like God said, no, we can't talk about the gifts until we talk about this. And I opened the Bible and it fell to this, and it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I mean, I love Paul's heart here. Paul is like going, I want you to pray for me. Well, Paul has been through a lot of difficulties. Paul has been stoned to the point where he was almost dead. He's been shipwrecked. He's been bit by a viper. He's been ridiculed and he's been mocked. He's been put in prison. I mean, you would think that he would say, you know, God, pray these things for me, people. Pray that I overcome these wounds. Pray that the hurt and I don't feel the pain and I don't feel the voices that are mocking me. But what does he pray? Give me boldness. Pray that no matter where I find myself, that I will fearlessly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. That I will never take my focus off of that, and that I'm proclaiming that and I'm sharing that with people. I mean, what a heart, and it's an incredible heart when you see him. He's like, I don't care about all these other things happening. What I care about is bringing glory to God and letting people know about this glorious mystery of who Jesus Christ is. Let me just ask, do you ever pray for me? I know some of you do. But like Paul, I'm dependent on your prayers. It's when God's people pray for us. Like in the moments of our life where you're not praying necessarily for all these things to go away, but you're going, I pray, God, that Kelly would stay rooted and grounded in the truth and he would proclaim them boldly in the times that we're in and the season of life that he finds himself in, that he doesn't get distracted by that. I mean, that's a prayer that it inspires and it keeps pushing us on. And it's like the Holy Spirit, he hears you guys praying that, and it's like he empowers pastors and leaders to keep pressing on, even though they're overwhelmed at times. And then Paul says these words that we'll jump back to in verse 18, and I pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Now, I just want to look at the last part of that verse first. So it says, with this in mind, be alert always keep on praying for all the saints. I think that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? He says, what I want you to do, and this is a command that we're given, I want you to be alert. I want you to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit that has been placed inside of you so you know what God is doing. I want you to be so alert that you're praying for always, that wherever you are, that you're praying for all the saints. I mean, when you're walking through Myers, you're picking up your groceries, you got spinach, you got carrots, and then you get potato chips. And then all of a sudden somebody comes to mind. Do you just kind of in that moment as you're walking through Myers, do you just pause and just start praying for that person? I mean, you've had that happen before, haven't you? Where all of a sudden a name just pops into your mind. I know I've had that happen of a girl that I went to school with. I haven't seen her in probably 30 plus years. And about 5 years ago, all of a sudden, it's like her name came to my mind. I'm like going, why is this person coming to mind? I haven't even had a conversation with them. I'm not even Facebook friends with them, so we're not friends, right? What I found out is I was obedient, and I said, God, I don't know what to pray, but you're asking me to pray for her. And I found out about 2 weeks later, she ended up having a miscarriage and was in a very dark state where she was thinking about committing suicide. And I'm like going, wow, God, that's amazing. God speaks to us that way. But how often are we obedient? How often are we alert when God is putting somebody in your heart? Or you walk by somebody and you don't even know them. You just get a face and it's like, pray for them. And you just kind of go and put everything on hold. But the problem is we're too selfish. Our prayers are more, God, give me this. Here's my laundry list. Here's my shopping list of God I need. I need this, I need that, I need this. Will you do this? Will you be there? Do this, change this, and do this, 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 and this. Amen. Praying in the Spirit is much different. Praying in the Spirit is when you're quieting yourself. And you're getting to the point where you're done with you. And you're going, thy will be done, God. I want to know what you're doing in the world. I want to know what you want me to pray for, who you want me to pray for. And you're being alert to that. And he says, and then always do that. Are we always praying for the saints? I mean, I'm guilty of not praying for all the saints. There's some people that I find it really easy to pray for because I like them. There's other saints that I'm like, you want me to pray for them? God, are you sure? You know what he's saying? Yes. Why? Because they're a child of God. Who are the saints? Believers, right? Anybody that believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is a saint. So he's saying, pray for all the saints. Imagine if the church did that, where we actually prayed for one another continually. Not just this body, but the body of Christ, where we just started praying for different people. Well, that's what Paul's saying. We need to get to the point where we're praying in the Spirit, where we're praying these things continually, and we're praying for all the saints. He says, when that happens, all of a sudden there's this thing that happens inside of us. We connect God with God in this really intimate way, where instead of us praying, our will be done, we're praying, your will be done, God. Just like Jesus in the garden, when he struggled, God, take this cup. It's overwhelming. And then he went back into prayer, and he surrendered, humbly going, thy will be done. And he prayed in the will of the Father. And here you have Paul going, this is what we're supposed to be doing. We are so supposed to be so united and so connected with the Spirit that has been placed inside of us that this is just natural for us. This is what becomes the desires of our hearts when we're so connected in prayer with God. And the more you pray, the more connected you feel. And the more you pray, the more peace you get as well. Whether you're praying for other people or you're putting your petitions before God. So you have this incredible moment where it says, pray all the time. Pray that you'd be able to love somebody that you haven't been able to love. God, give me a heart like yours towards this person. Help me love them and see them how you see them. That should be the prayers of our hearts for the other saints, shouldn't it? God, help me to show compassion when they need compassion. Help me to meet the needs of my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And help me meet those needs. And God, make me so alert that I see them. And Paul says in Colossians another time, he says it this way. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray too for us, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. So you have Paul in this verse is saying, be devoted. Be completely sold out in prayer. That's the first thing that you think about in the morning and the last thing you think about during the day. But in the middle of the day, that's all you're thinking about. How do I connect with God? What is God doing right now? And I'm devoted to it. And not just once or twice a month, but my whole journey with God. And he says to be watchful and thankful, meaning being alert. So do we pray continually? Do we pray without ceasing? See, God's inviting us into this intimate relationship. And he says, you want to understand me more? You want to feel my presence more and know what my will is for you and for other people? Then you got to do this continually. It's part of your DNA of who you're supposed to be as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. This isn't an option. He says, but you got to learn how to pray in the Spirit. And that Spirit drives you to devotion. He says, in verse 18, he said, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So praying in the Spirit, it's not just with our lips, is it? It's not just just saying a bunch of words, but it's something much deeper inside of us that we're supposed to be doing and connecting with the Spirit inside of us. How do I explain praying in the Spirit? Well, first of all, we have to understand we can't explain all these things. We have to be okay with mystery. Mystery is something that the Bible is filled with, and I think we've tried to take the mystery out of things. And intellectually, we start to rationalize how we're supposed to pray, how we're supposed to connect with God, and that's not how it works. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. He says, so then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God or the mysteries of God. We've been entrusted. We're stewards of this incredible gift called prayer. And we're supposed to be participating in it, not just participating in it. We're supposed to be surrendered in our spirit. And then also we're supposed to be passing this on because we're stewards. If we're stewards of something, we're want to have the next generation get this. And if the next generation doesn't get it, it's our fault because we were never sold out in prayer. We were never sold out to the Spirit that has been placed inside of us. So he says, it's a great mystery. And be okay with the mystery because I can't explain what really praying in the Spirit truly kind of means. But Paul says that we're stewards of these mysteries. Be faithful with these things. I mean, we have to understand that even just understanding that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That we are completely filled with the Spirit of God, meaning that you have the power and the authority of God living inside of you. And we have to be kind of in awe of that. And I don't know if you ever really think about that you are filled with the Spirit of God to connect with God in such a unique and deep way and have these conversations that are led by the Spirit so you're growing in Him continually. And it's in these prayer moments and these sweet hours of prayers, what we kind of call them in the old days and in the hymns. It's, you have this sweet hour of prayer where you're so in awe of what God has done that you're just surrendering everything about you and you're humbly going, I don't know how to pray. But I want to learn. And God teaches. You ever really think about that? What's inside of you? The Spirit of God inside of you? So that way you can approach God. Do you understand who God is? It tells us in 1 Timothy, and Paul says it like this, and I think we got to get some awe back into things, and some wonder and some mystery. Paul says, this is a description of how he's trying to explain God. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. I mean, did you hear his description of this God that you and I get to connect with in prayer? That he's a God that is immortal, that is surrounded by an unapproachable light, meaning it's brighter than the sun. I mean, if you don't just go to approach the sun, do you, and grab a hold of it? One, it's too bright and it's going to be too hot. God is brighter than the sun. But you and I, we get to call God Abba, Father. We get to call him Dad because of that spirit that's in us. We get to connect with him in prayer. I mean, this is mind-blowing when I start thinking about this unapproachable God that is holy, that is righteous, that is pure. He wants a relationship with us. He wants you to know him. He wants you to be known to him. And it's through this connection in prayer where we surrender and we're humble, going, God, I don't know. I don't know how to do it. I'm at an end of myself. Teach me. And it's like Paul in those moments is going, in that moment, the Spirit starts to take over in your life. And you start to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit points you in which direction to go. The Spirit tells you what to even pray. But you got to be surrendered, and you got to understand that this God is unapproachable, but yet you can approach him. And then Paul can, at the end or at the beginning of these scriptures, and most of you know the scriptures in chapter 6 here that we're looking at, it's about the armor of God and putting on all the full armor of God. He starts this section out in verse 10, and he says, "Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power." This is a battle call. Do you know that? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He's saying be strong in the Spirit of God. And I want you to put on the full armor of God because you're about to go into battle. You might not understand that you're in a battle and it's not of flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. And for you to face that battle and for me to face that battle, I need to be strong in the Spirit. I need to put on the full armor of God, and I need to be willing to pray in the Spirit, meaning I'm surrendered to the point where I'm going, you lead, not me. And he's like going, this is what we're called to do. I mean, and all throughout the Ephesians, and if you're looking for a book to study, grab the book of Ephesians. It is all about the Spirit of God. It's all about living in the Spirit, living by the Spirit, prayer in the Spirit. It's all about the Spirit of God being in control. He starts the section out and about this mighty power, and I think we just got to understand that mighty power. And he starts this section, he says in verse 18, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance and his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms. Did you catch that? That power that we have inside of us, the Holy Spirit of God, is the same power that is incomprehensible. It's the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him on the throne, which is above all other thrones. That power, you and I are connected to. And that's the Holy Spirit. And Paul's like, at this end of this message, he's like going, do you understand this power? We're called to dwell in this power. We're called to pray in the Spirit, in this power. And then what happens is your heart is opened up to the marvelous and glorious things of God. Do you understand that power? And he goes on in Ephesians 3, and he says, "Now to him, God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us." This power that is at work in us, that's the Spirit of God. Are we responding to the Spirit of God? Are we connected to the Spirit of God that's in us? The only way that we can connect with the Spirit of God is through prayer. through humbly going before God and emptying ourselves of ourself and getting quiet and hearing that quiet voice. And that power that lives in us, we can walk in, we can live with, and we can get information and wisdom from. How to pray for people, how to pray for circumstances. He says, and I pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. What Paul is really saying, he says, we pray through the Spirit. The Spirit leads us through this. He says this in Romans 8. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Again, he says the power of the Spirit of God, the full Godhead, is living inside of us, the full power. And that power that rose Christ from the dead has the power to give us life. The Spirit transforms everything. And he goes on and he says, because those, and this is verse 14 in Romans 8, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For they did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. How do you explain that? That's mystery, isn't it? But it's truth. The Spirit that's living inside of us does something very unique. Because of what Christ did on the cross, we've been filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit connects us with the Father and gives us power. Power not just to live a defeated life, but to overcome fear and not to be afraid of whatever this life throws at us, because we have a God that we can go to and we can go, Abba, Father, I need you. Abba, Father, I have this intimacy with you and I need to hear from you. And what's so beautiful, when we come to an end of ourselves and we're praying in the Spirit and you're going, God, I just need you. I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. All of a sudden, he meets you in that moment. He goes, son, daughter, you're my beloved. I love you. And he fills you with peace. And he fills you with hope. How do I know this is true? One, because the Spirit that is in me is testifying to my spirit. I know it's true, but I've walked through it. I'm in the middle of it right now. Going, God, you know the circumstance. My mom just fractured her back 4 weeks ago. Now I'm a brother. God, I am overwhelmed. But Abba, Father, you got me. I trust you. You know what happens? I have peace. I have hope. Whatever the outcome is, I don't know. But I know it's going to be for whatever God has in store for good. He has my brother's best in mind. He has your best in mind. He has my best in mind all the time. Because he's a good, good Father. And we get to connect with this Father through prayer. So how are you doing? Are you connecting with him? Are you boldly going before him? Are you saying, I got it? Paul says it's okay not to know what to pray. He says it this way in Romans. He says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. It's okay to go to God and go, I don't know what to pray. I have no clue. But it's important that you get to the point where you silence yourself and you listen. And you just dwell there, because the Spirit is doing something. He's interceding to the Father. He's going, this is what Kelly needs. This is what Pam needs. This is what this person needs. God, I know their hearts. I dwell inside of them. Here's what's going on. Here's what they really need. They need some hope. They need to overcome depression. They need to not get lost. God, would you do this for them? And the Holy Spirit's pleading for us. And we're just sitting there going, I'm in the Spirit just going, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know what to pray. And he's going, I got you. It's okay. That's the best place to be, honestly. That's praying in the Spirit. Now, praying in the Spirit, I've said that several times. As I say this, I want to be cautious because I don't want somebody to get upset because of we can have different meanings of what praying in the Spirit is, but I think a lot of people aren't praying in the Spirit because they're afraid that it means a couple other things. They think that it means touchy-feely, and they might even think that it means tongues. Now, if you believe that, you know, that praying in the Spirit is tongues, you can believe that. It shouldn't separate us. We shouldn't get in arguments about this. That's something that we can agree to disagree on. But when I look in Scripture, I think a lot of people are missing praying in the Spirit because they're so afraid. Because in our cultures, in our church cultures, you've heard it said quite often, pray in the Spirit. And when a pastor says that in some churches, people begin to speak into tongues. And people are like going, what in the world is that? The thing about tongues, and I'm going to summarize 1 Corinthians 14:13. We're going to eventually get to the gifts of the Spirit, and I'll explain it a little bit more. But the gift of tongues, Paul talks about. What happens is when somebody believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they repent of their sins, they're baptized, it tells us that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he takes up residence inside of you. He imparts gifts. Some it's preaching, some it's prophecy, some it's speaking in tongues. There's several gifts. And those gifts are given to individuals, not to everybody. So these gifts that sometimes people attach praying in the Spirit with, they're not for everybody. When we read what Paul is saying that everybody should be praying in the Spirit. Meaning that's a command. A command that we're supposed to get to the point where we're going, not my will, but your will, and I'm in the Spirit right now. Because I'm so surrendered, and I'm so dependent on him right now, and I'm listening. It's not this uttering of tongues. Tongues is completely different, and like I said, we'll talk about it. We can agree to disagree on this, but what I don't want is I don't want people missing praying in the Spirit. Because praying in the Spirit, that's where hope comes in. That's where God can come in and he can speak to you and you can be renewed. And you can find hope when you feel hopelessness. And praying in the Spirit, imagine if the body prayed in the Spirit. Or we're praying for what God's will is for each other. Imagine what would happen. The church would be an unstoppable force. Because we're interceding for one another, and we're depending on the Spirit, and we're going, okay, your will, God, your will, not mine. And God's will just all of a sudden becomes so crystal clear. That's what happened in Acts. The people were devoted to the apostles' teachings, they were devoted to one another, and they were devoted to prayer. Are we devoted to prayer? Are we missing something in our life because we don't understand this? I'm going to close with this story. Maybe you remember it out of 1 Chronicles. When Solomon, he just finished building God's temple. And after they built this temple for God, all the people were face down worshiping. And it says that a fire came down and the glory of God shone around. I mean, just imagine that happening. We don't have to imagine that happening. It's already happened. Do you know that you are a temple of God? Do you know that the Spirit of God and all of his glory is dwelling inside of you? It says this in 1 Corinthians, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in your midst. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. All of us You're the temple. All of us together are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit has come down and he's filled us to the full measure of God's power and authority here on earth. Are we surrendered to the Spirit? Are we praying in the Spirit? Would you take the next 40 days, as if you haven't got this book yet, there's a few left, grab this book and begin to pray. And pray specifically, God, I want to pray in your Spirit. I want your Spirit to reveal to me how to let go of me. I want to meet with you. I want you to dwell and take up that complete residence in here so I'm aware of it and I can experience it. And imagine what would happen if the whole church did this. And we come together on Easter. And we're just here to worship and to hear from our God. The glory of God would shine around because the Spirit of God would move. So are you dependent on the Spirit of God? Are you praying in the Spirit? Don't be afraid. It's not something that's weird. It's what we're commanded to do. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and there are so many mysteries that we fully don't understand. But God, I'm in awe of you, of how you have filled us with your Spirit. And you desire us to have this intimate conversation with you. You desire for us to hear your voice. And you've given us a way through praying in the Spirit, Lord. Help us to not be afraid. Help us to stand in that power, to put on the full armor of God and walk in this world in victory with peace and hope. In Jesus' name.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.